Well, good morning, everybody. It is a beautiful day to be in the house of God. Amen. It's good to see everybody who has joined us online. I know there's a bunch of folks out there, and we appreciate you being a part of the worship service this morning. I have just a few announcements as we get started, and the first one is actually not up here. It's something I want to tell you about that's coming up. We're just sort of getting it off the ground, and this is really, really exciting. We're partnering with Second Harvest Food Bank, which is the major food distributor food bank here in Middle Tennessee in Nashville. And we don't know the date yet. We're still working on it. But probably sometime end of September, beginning of October, sometime in that time frame, we're going to have a semi-truck full of food delivered to our parking lot. About 250 families worth of food is going to be delivered here, and we're going to be giving every bit of it away as folks come through. So be listening for more information about that. It's going to be happening pretty quickly over the next couple of weeks, be coming together. I want to thank specifically David Birdsong. He read A Purpose-Driven Life one day. This is a great testimony. He decided to pick it up, and he read it and really got fired up about a project that he thinks will really energize us and energize the church in a difficult time. And also, the most important thing is feed a whole lot of people who need food right now. So be watching for that. It's coming quickly. We'll need a bunch of volunteers, and that's going to be a really good time. So be watching for that. The second thing is I know y'all been reading a bunch during the COVID crisis time. Everybody been reading. And I'm sure that as you get done with those books, you're just throwing up on the shelf. Jackie needs them. Jackie's putting them together for our 2020 Angel Tree. So if you have books that you would like to get rid of to give away because you've read them already, there's a box out front on the porch. You can put them out there. You can bring them in on Sundays if you want to, but the box will be out there. And so take care of that. We'll give those away come Christmas as gifts to our friends on the streets. It'll go as part of their Angel Tree stuff. What else we got? Something else. Yes, Suzanne. Those for the folks online is that on Monday nights during the burrito ministry, we use Walmart, Kroger, grocery plastic sacks to put the burritos and such in to give to our friends. And we're running low on the plastic bags. So if you have a bunch, if you're going shopping and you can gather them up, bring them by the church, drop them on the front porch, put them in front of my office, whatever. And we just love to take those off your hands because we use about 80 to 100 of them each week. So thank you for that as well. And is there anything else in the life of the church? Anything else going on? Yeah, so the this was the important one. If you have prayer concerns today, if you're online and have prayer concerns, please go ahead and put them in the comments now. We'll have prayer here in just a couple of minutes for those, and we want to make sure we get your prayer requests in. And if we don't get them in time for the prayer in the middle of the service, we'll pray for them at the end, too. Can't pray too much. So make sure you put those in the comments now, if you would. Are there any other announcements before we get started? If not, would you please rise for our call to worship? It comes from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wonderful works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come here into this place because we are intentional. On purpose, we are gathering here in this building, online, wherever, because this is the moment where we want to make sure that we're searching You out and worshiping You. But we know, Lord, that it doesn't end in this hour. This hour is only our group expression of that. The moment we leave from this place, we are to continually seek Your presence in everything we do. And so, Lord, we ask then that You strengthen us during this time. We know this hour is about worshiping You. We know we're supposed to lift up Your name, but we also know that when we call on You, You answer. And so we ask you, Lord, to give us strength and give us courage, give us resolve to go in the world and find you in every single way that we can. We ask these things, Lord, because you're amazing. You're beautiful. You're fantastic. You're awesome. You're all these words that don't come close to describing you. And whatever we can do, Lord, to find you, we know it'll be blessings to us and everybody around us. And so, Lord, we ask that you give us strength in this time to send us out. And we thank you, God, for that strength and the ability to search you out and find you whenever we look. Lord, thank you for this day. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We'll have our first of a couple of songs today. Thank you so much to our musicians for leading us in worship.
Just so y'all know, all of these songs today were chosen by someone that wasn't me, because they sent me things that said I would like these songs. So if there are songs that you like, please send them to me. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee. Take my love and, Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee.
That song, because it's not about some great mystery. It's not about the later. It's about take my feet, take my hands, take my whatever, and allow me to go into the world and live as you would have me. I love that song. Thank you all so much for that. We have a few prayer requests that have come in from those online. Like I said, if we didn't get them quite yet, go ahead and send them in. We'll have a prayer again at the end of the service. We've been asked to pray for Paul and Shelby Ward. This is from Mary Floyd. Cynthia Lucas, who Suzanne's been praying for quite some time. Her cancer has gotten worse, and we need to be in prayer for her and that family. Lauren Linder's got a job interview coming up, and we need to be in prayer for her to give her strength and wisdom in that, and so that will be coming up. Jacqueline Franciscan, Teresa's daughter, is recovering from sinus surgery, so we need to be in prayer for her. And then Pete Franciscan's father, Pete Sr., continued prayer for them as hospice is there, keeping him in comfort. From Tammy Judkins, we need to pray for Judy Judkins and for Jackie Bullard. And are there others this morning that we need to be in prayer for? Yes, ma'am.
Michelle Brown.
She had a stroke at work Monday, and she was in the hospital, which is a good place to, I guess, supposedly.
Good.
It matters.
She's not going to have any lasting effects when she goes to the doctor tomorrow.
Good. Keep her in our prayers as she's continuing her recovery and her family as well, I'm sure. Yes, I've got that note right here. David Schuler had a hip replacement. It was about 4 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago, I guess, and developed an infection. And so they're going in, I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday, to take a look and see kind of what the infection is like and how they can treat it. And so they'll know more Tuesday or Wednesday about his condition. But he's been struggling with that for quite some time, yeah. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for this morning? Yes, ma'am. And tell me Bill's last name?
Harpson.
He's having open heart surgery, and we need to be in prayer for Bill. Yep. Are there others this morning? I want to read something real quick. The letters of Paul, when Paul wrote a letter and sent it out, he just didn't send it to one person. He sent it to a church, and it'd be read to the whole church. And so I got a letter from Louise Fox. It's only 2 pages, not long, but I got to read it because it starts off this way. Hi, Jason. I just have a praise. It happened about the same time as the virus came out. I didn't have the virus, but some other things, and I couldn't get my doctor. Finally was able to see her, and she told me that I had gout because I was having problems with my foot. I was told to drink lots of water, and so I did, and I was getting sore on the other foot. But she didn't know what it was. So I got to be, she was sick to her stomach, and so they called the doctor again, and they said that they didn't take sick people. So my friend Ann took me to the urgent care, and they wouldn't do anything until I had a COVID test. So we went and got that, but they wouldn't have the result for 4 or 5 days. So Ann and Charlotte decided to take me to the ER. They checked on me and decided I had shingles and put me in intensive care. And they checked me and decided I had drank too much water. I was in intensive care 5 days. They told Charlotte that my sodium was too low and I was dying. And she wrote all about it and put it on Facebook for everyone to pray for me in my church. Poor Charlotte, she about went to pieces, but Ann and our pastor helped her. They had no idea that she was going to, they had no idea what was going on with me, and I just wanted to go home. Finally, on the fifth day, the kidney doctor came in and said my sodium was up and he could go home. And she said, I never have seen such a happy face in a doctor. He told Charlotte I wouldn't make it. My kids weren't going to let me do anything, even drive, but I had me a nurse and people checking on me, and I'm back to my old self, still home with the shingles, still in pain. So this is my prayer, my praise to God. Please let people know that you can drink too much fluid. It can kill you. It messes with your mind, too. But I'm pretty much back to normal. Had to walk with a walker for a while. I miss all you guys, and I'm praying that the virus will disappear. Love all of y'all, Louise Fox. And she said, I really enjoy the worship service and really enjoy the music. So Louise is a wonderful friend of ours, and it's such a good thing to hear that praise. And I'm glad that she's back to normal. She wanted me to make sure that everybody had heard from her. So let's go to God in prayer if we can. Gracious God, we thank you for the ability to turn to you. We thank you that when Louise turned to you, she found relief in the situation she was in. And we pray that for everybody on our prayer list. For David Schuler, for Judy Judkins, for Michelle Brown, for Paul and Shelby Ward, for Cynthia Lucas, for Pete Franceskin Jr. and Senior, for Jacqueline, for Lauren, for Bill. We pray all of these folks. We ask for your blessings in their lives in whatever way is right and good. And for all of those that were too heavy to mention, those things that are in our heart that we dare not speak, we ask an extra blessing for those things, Lord. Please, please come into our lives and help us in those situations that are so challenging and difficult. We turn to you, Lord, on these things because we know you are do good in all things. And so we turn to you knowing that good will come out of these situations in one way or another. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you also for the chance to give our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings to you. We thank you, God, that when we leave this place, not only do we pray through the words that we use, we pray through the actions that we have. And so as we help people, we know, Lord, that's a prayer to you too. We ask these things, Lord, through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Leave us not this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, that's an appropriate prayer to have as we come into our time of the Word, because I'm going to be... I enjoy preaching the sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. That was an enjoyable time for me. I enjoy putting them together. And I was like, if one was fun, I'll just do another sermon series. So I'm going to do a sermon series the next 4 weeks, I think. And we're going to use Luke 11, 1 through 4, which is Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to use that as our jumping off point each week. So I want to read it now. He was praying in a certain place. This is, again, Luke 11, 1 through 4. He was praying in a certain place. And after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. From where do we get our identity? What defines you? Or who defines you in that way? There was a woman in the previous church I pastored. Her name was Mary Ellen Neal. I'm not telling any tales about her that she wouldn't say on herself, so I can tell you her name. James just looked at me like, oh Lord, what's coming? He knows Mary O'Neill. I heard once upon a time that Mary O'Neill was a very quiet woman. She didn't say much. She didn't stir the pot. She didn't raise an eyebrow. She sang in the choir. She helped out in the fall festival. She made fantastic potluck casseroles. And she was just a good all-around church woman. That's what I had heard about her. That's how she used to be. That's not how James and I knew her, because apparently... at some point before I got to that church, Mary Ellen decided that she wasn't going to live a normal life anymore. She was not going to be quiet, and she sure wasn't going to be reserved. She decided to redefine herself as a woman who was liable to say just about anything, and no joke, there was no telling what that woman would say. So we were in church one Sunday morning, and it came to the time of prayer like we just had. So Mary Ellen spoke up, which means this was a precarious moment for the church. You didn't know how this was going to go. Now, on this particular day, she asked for prayers for a family member, a young woman in her family. I don't remember which one, thankfully. She asked for prayer for this niece or whatever because the child was going to college. And she was smart, too. This girl was super smart. She got mid-30s on her ACT. She was smart as a whip, this girl. And Mary Ellen went on and on and on about how she was going to this good university. This was a great opportunity, and it was going to be hard work, too. But then she said, right there in front of God and everybody, she said these words. She said, but that's not why I want y'all to pray for her. Y'all, she's smart, but she didn't have a lick of common sense. She didn't know when to get out of the rain. So y'all pray for my niece, because she doesn't stand a chance at that college. And after a second or two, of course, we all just fell out. I mean, that was it for the worship service. You don't, like, we were like, Mary Ellen, you don't have to say it that way. You don't have to be like that. But Mary Ellen was serious. She wasn't keeping no secrets. She asked for prayer because she figured that girl needed prayer in the worst of ways. Y'all pray for it. Jay, we got to go see whatever happened to that girl, by the way. We knew who it was. But the point is that somewhere in her life, somewhere along her journey, somehow, some way, and for better and for worse, Mary Ellen decided that she wasn't going to define herself as she had defined herself before. She wasn't going to define herself she was going to define herself by another way. She allowed something else to define her, and now she wasn't going to do that anymore. And so I'm asking, in the name of Mary Ellen Neal, how do we define ourselves? By what standards? Who defines us that way? How do we define ourselves? Why do we think what we think? Why do we do what we do? Why do we believe what we believe? Why do we hold important the odd things that we hold important in this world? How do we define ourselves? And how do we define everything else too? And can it change, or is Mary Ellen just an exception to the rule? Have you ever changed how you define yourself? Maybe you called it growth when you did. I think that's the best part of getting older. I've come to realize it is not the gray hair nor the flab. The best thing about getting older is that we have an opportunity to define ourselves less and less by what other people think about us. Now, we still care about what people think about us, right? And sometimes we should. If everybody thinks some way, we might need to listen because they might be right. So I don't think that we ever lose that. Having a little bit of that is called humility. And so it becomes a tricky question. How do we define ourselves? And are we locked into how we define ourselves right now? And then here's the second part of that question that's important. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Part of how we define ourselves is wrapped up in how we define the world. We define the rest of the world based on how we define ourselves. Let me give you an example. I'm a Kentucky fan. I love Kentucky basketball. That means there's a list of teams I am required to hate. It starts with Louisville and Duke, but the list is much longer than that. That's how it is when we get in the definition business. As we define ourselves, we define the world and how we treat it. You know, when we were kids, we sometimes made the mistake of not valuing things correctly, not defining things like we should have. I can tell this story on my stepson, Stephen, Suzanne's boy, because he is such a good man. But then there was this one time when he was a little kid. Suzanne had a stool that we liked very much. It was one of those old soda fountain stools. You know what I'm talking about? It had the red vinyl pulled tight over the top of the cushion. It was silver, and you know what I'm talking about. Well, Stephen was sitting on it. He was probably, what, Suzanne, 6 or 7, I guess. And we were all sort of around in the kitchenette area of this little duplex we used to live in. And while we're sitting there, and he's sitting on that little stool, we hear this faint pop, pop, pop. I didn't know what it was. I kind of looked around, and I turned around and looked at Suzanne, and she looked at me at the same time. And then we saw Stephen taking a pencil going pop, pop, pop. All, just right there, that fancy stool, just little bitty pop. Just as round as can be. And Suzanne, well, she lost her mind. Stephen, stop it. And he did, and he couldn't figure out what he'd done wrong. To him, the value in that was pop. But to us, the value was different. And so we proceeded to convince Stephen, at the sake of his own life, to not treat furniture like that anymore. You got to define it better, boy. You can't treat it that way. His own identity of a child. And so he couldn't identify things correctly. He was a young child, and so he treated the world as a young child treats it, just looking for the pops, you know. How he defined himself and others, though he didn't mean to, affected how he treated the world. How and why we define things like we do matters more than anything else matters, I guess. I'd say every argument we have, all the major arguments of our day, comes down to we define things differently. Definitions, defining ourselves, defining the world, defining other people and things and powers and beliefs and ideas, being open to those definitions matters. We have got to get that part right, especially us Christians. And so Jesus said, Father. Father. The disciples had asked him how to pray. They needed to have to know how to pray and what to pray for. What do we say when we pray? What do we believe when we pray? Jesus said, Jesus, you pray all the time, and you're like nothing we've ever seen before. So teach us what you're doing. Teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, okay, you want to know how to pray? And he started with Father. Now, let me get something out of the way real quick. Being that we're talking about definitions, I don't think God is male any more than I think God is female. In Scripture, there's a whole lot of father talk, but God is also like the mother who gathers the hen mother who gathers the chicks too, right? God doesn't have a gray beard, and he doesn't have a lightning bolt, and he doesn't have a tunic. That's Zeus, and you don't believe in Zeus. God is so much more than that. That's what I believe. God is, but it doesn't matter what God is. My point is that word father wasn't like, dear daddy, happy Father's Day, love Wes and Philip. When Jesus said Father, it wasn't the beginning of a letter, of an address. I don't think that's why he said it. I think it was more than that. I think the reason he said that word was about definitions. There's something you need to know about fathers and their sons back then. Back in that day, you were defined, absolutely defined, by who your father was. There was no land of opportunity back then. As you were born into that world, you died in that world. Whatever daddy was, whatever class he was, whatever wealth he had, whatever he didn't have, that's what you did or didn't have. One example of this was Joseph and Jesus. They were both carpenters, the Bible says, right? And that's because you were defined by how you were defined by your father. I bet you Joseph, daddy, was in the business too. There's all kinds of other father-son stories like that in the Bible. You can find plenty of reference if you want to. And so you got what you got from your father, right, prodigal son? You with me? Mama and the daughters didn't inherit much. The sons did. In fact, you paid somebody to take your daughter off your hands, didn't you? It was called a dowry. And you paid it to the family who would marry your daughter. Sons were everything in this world, and they were who they were because of their father. Y'all get with me. This is important to understand for you to understand the prayer this week. I have a friend named Youssef. He's from Morocco, and he still lives in the culture where children are named after their father. His name is Youssef Ben Tarla, which literally means Youssef Ben his son, Youssef Ben Youssef, son of Tarla. So that's his name, Youssef Ben Tarla. Youssef, son of Tarla. Now, the interesting thing about that is Tarla's not his daddy's name. It's the company he works for, but that's how everybody knows him, from Tarla Tour Company, and so he calls himself Youssef Ben Tarla. But his real name is Youssef Ben whatever his daddy's name is. Wes would be, wherever he went, Youssef, or Wes would be Wes Ben Jason, right? That's how it works in that culture, and it's a bit similar to the one that Jesus grew up in. And in Jesus' day, it was even more pronounced. You are who your father is, and that's all you can ever be. Your father defines who you are. And Jesus said in his prayer, Father. When he said that, in that one word, Jesus set out the entire framework for who he was and how he saw the world. He set out everything in one word. He defined everything about him and about how he would live in this world with one phrase, Father. He said, everything that I am, everything that I believe, everything that I act on, everything that I understand, everything that I find important, everything that I have, every bit of my being is a direct result of my Father. You've given me everything. You are my definition. You define me, Father, and nothing else does. How do you pray, Jesus? How do we pray like you? And he said, Father. Y'all, we're made in the image of God because God is the image bearer. You hear me? We're made in the image of God because God is the image creator. I blur that image readily. It's blurred most of the time. It's blurred like it is on TV when they don't want to make you the identity out of somebody. I'm blurred like that. I get it. But under here and under you and under everybody else is the image of God. Jesus said that as he defined it. Jesus said that he was defined by that. And we are too. Remember, this was an answer on how to pray. This wasn't Jesus' prayer. This was the answer on how to pray. And he said, start with the definitions. God, everything I am is because of you. And if you are who I believe you are, then I'm going to see that image everywhere in the world too, because you created all things. In the mirror, I will see the image of God, and in the world, I will see the image of God. You know, some of us, all of us maybe, have been defined by other people, and we've taken those definitions upon ourselves. What people thought about us is stuck, and when that happens, it's usually because people didn't think too good about us. Even sometimes people who really cared about us, they defined us, and we took on that definition. Or maybe sometimes things defined us, and it felt pretty good. Maybe we choose, or maybe we are trained, or maybe we believe in certain things because it gives us an identity that feels better than those other identities. Maybe we choose certain ways of being because it suits how we want to be defined and how the world desires to define us. Man, we even choose our cars that way, don't we? You could have bought a pickup truck, or you could have bought a Prius, or you could have bought a man van, which I like to call a truck because I own a man van and I don't like the word man van. But we choose it because we identify in some certain way and it matches what we want to be. Football teams don't wear pink, y'all. You with me? But Jesus knew who he was. He didn't allow anybody or anything else to define him and the way he would treat the world. Only God was allowed to define Jesus. Only the Father defined Jesus. Not the Pharisees who said they spoke for God. And I got a whole sermon on that. Not John the Baptist people who wish Jesus would just go a different way. And we know there's a sermon on that. Not even his own family who tried to slow his roll would define him. I don't have a sermon on that one. There was only one definition that mattered, and it was the one he received from the Father, the Creator, the Definer. And if you define me, then you define everything, Father. You define all there is, whether I realize it or not. The definitions are already there, and it's up to us Christians to make sure that we know what the definitions are. Now, it gets a little messy when we realize that these definitions are already written in stone and we're just up to us to read them. Redefining the world based on how God defines it sure does cross some lines, and the world doesn't like line crossing. It'll do anything to stop definitions. That's nothing new. The world has always done that. They killed Jesus for it, so what are they going to do to us, I guess? But because that didn't work, because they tried to kill Jesus and there was a resurrection, because it didn't work, because the world could not define Jesus by killing him, because that didn't work, there is great freedom for all of us to give up the world's definitions. That's what Paul called it. He called it freedom. You know good and well he changed his definition about everything. And so that brother can speak on it. He said, it's freedom when we do this. That's what it is when we let loose of the definitions the world is trying to place. It's freedom. It's freedom when we don't have to make up the definitions anymore. It's freedom when we don't have to define ourselves and define others by how the world demands that we define them. When we don't have to get lost in the echo chambers of our time that define those people as those people and our people as the only ones that could possibly be right. When we don't have to look at folks with anxiousness and fear and suspicion anymore, it is absolutely freeing when we stop reading the wrong dictionaries, when we pick up the right dictionary, the one that defines all of God's children. There is such great freedom. And then we will pray to our Creator too. And we can call on that God, the Father, the Mother, the Creator, the guy upstairs, I don't care what you call him at that point, as we know that the only definitions that matter are the divine definitions, those that are written in stone, the ones Jesus believed when he prayed the word Father. So I ask again, how do we define ourselves? How do we define other people? How do we define this entire world that we live in? Well, those definitions matter. Our life in the faith all starts with the definition. And we are defined by God. Let's make sure we always get that part right. And God's people said, amen. We will have another song by our wonderful musicians, who need a round of applause, by the way. They are doing wonderful work right now. Getting together several times a week. I got Wes playing bass in the living room all the time, and it's wonderful to have them together leading us in music. During this time, I would just ask that you worship or you pray. Start with the definitions. You are creating the image of God, and everybody around you is too. Let's live by those definitions.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am,
Another prayer request that came in from Sharon Gardner. Frank Barrett has been dealing with COVID for about a month. Frank, I believe, I've been a friend of a church for years, a friend of the community for years. I talked to Chief Parker about a week ago. He had called and asked if we'd be in prayer for Frank. And I don't have an update, and Sharon sent this in. Sharon, if you have an update and don't mind putting in the notes, we would love to know how Frank is doing. And then Sharon also said that she wanted to be in prayer for all of Jenkins' family, her friends, and Jenkins' church. And I thought that was absolutely beautiful. So let's go to God again in prayer. Lord, we lift up all of those on our prayer list early. We lift up Frank. He is a friend of this community and has been a part of it for so long. And we just lift him up, asking God that you give him comfort and healing and his family comfort as well. And then we pray for this entire church. Lord, it's so weird being a church in these days. And we just thank you, God, that we can still gather together, even if it's over internet and phone calls and letters and cards and here in service too. We just thank you, God, that we can continue being a family of faith. And you continue leading us in how to do that. Spur us to contact somebody or remind us to send a card to somebody we're missing. We just, Lord, we are a community of faith, and we just ask you that you strengthen us in whatever way that you see as right and good. And Lord, we ask that you remind us in every moment what our definition is. Keeping our mind that we are, Lord, an image of you. We may be blurred. We may be cracked here and there. But it doesn't change the fact that we are yours. We were made by you, and this entire creation is yours. And as we leave this place, remind us that in every opportunity we come in so that we get our definitions right. For you are our God. Lord, release us from this place and never from you. And God's people said, amen. It's good to see everybody online. You all take care. It's wonderful to see you all as well. And we'll do this next week again. What do y'all think? Fair enough? Seems like a